Morning, family. Welcome to another episode of Inside the Armor. I'm your co-host, Big Brother Boone, and I'm joined by my principled, purposeful partners in podcast prosperity.
This is Joseph.
Russell.
And collectively, our mantra is iron sharpening iron, one podcast at a time. What's up, fellas?
What's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, Brother Boone? Big Brother Boone.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So, this episode is entitled How to Exemplify Excellence in Character.
Ow. Punch in the gut.
Punch. Man.
In the gut, man.
Yeah. Spotlight. Spotlight.
Yeah.
Well, he used to say spotlight. Spotlight's on you. You just you feel a little something in that spirit there.
Oh, man.
Like, dang, God.
Oh, we all are taking body blows, so
yeah,
we all feel the pain points.
Yes, we do, man.
Well, thank God it's a no judgment zone on this one. Woo, bro. So as we always go through this, man, how did this topic even come up?
Yeah.
Well, remember post podcast last week.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about specifically excellence in business because my brother Russ had a contractor who did not exemplify excellence when it came to running his business.
Yes.
Right. And so that led to a rather lengthy discussion. And so we decided to delve a little deeper and expand that. And Joe, you mentioned that, from an excellence standpoint, when it comes to character, if you just say excellence in character, you cover everything, whether it's business, whether it's personal relationships, what have you. When you string that out, basically you're just saying, let's cover the whole gamut of everything using exemplifying excellence in character.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that's how
that's. Okay. That's how we got here.
Got it. It was interesting because when I saw the topic, I was sitting here and actually questioned that, and I wrote down some notes. I said, what does excellence look like? And then I wrote down a couple of things. What does it look like? What is it per se? And then how do I achieve it? And go from there. But starting at what is it? What is excellence?
Well, I got a definition that I hijacked from someplace. It said,
right,
the quality of being outstanding or extremely good, distinctive, mm-hmm. superior, mm-hmm. brilliance, greatness, merit, high caliber, eminence, and mastery.
Wow. Man, that's a lot, bro.
That's a mouthful. Ooh,
boy.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is, man. Just chew on that for a second, fellas. Chew on that. That's good gracious, man.
So one of the words that that jumped off the page, and all of that for me was the mastery. Well, two words: mastery of. So getting to a place of mastering anything. You just don't walk into it as a master, right?
Understood.
You have to grow to a place of mastery.
Okay.
Right. So most if anything, if we go into a job, you normally start off as an apprentice or a rookie or a new hire or whatever the term is, but you go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Not having some knowledge, but learning, you have to learn the job or learn the process in order to become a master at it.
Sure.
And it takes years to get there,
mm-hmm.
but you don't ever stop working towards it. Does that make sense? That's what's popped off in my head.
Yeah, that's great. It makes a lot of sense.
So with that being said, with all of these things, all of the the parts of that definition to master each one of them. That means you have to spend time. You have to be focused. You have to realize that it needs to be mastered, or you have to have a desire to want to learn it.
Yeah.
In order to master it. So.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. A desire to master it.
Yeah,
that's good. Where does that desire come from? Because I'm just thinking of that kid or that young adult or whoever, adult period, that doesn't have, I don't have desire to be excellent.
I had a teacher, and back in junior high school, and I forget the complete context of the conversation, but I said something along the lines of, I don't have a problem with being average. And she lit into me.
Wow.
And it took my life to a trajectory that, I'm grateful for, because, I was perfectly content with being 500, 8 and 8.
Yeah.
And she said, don't you ever strive to just be mediocre, to be average. And one of the issues that some brothers have is that, we find ourselves mired in mediocrity. And the sad part about it is we get comfortable with that. We get complacent with that, And when you get complacent, you don't allow yourself growth. You don't allow yourself to be promoted, and you're just perfectly complacent and content with the way things are. Mm-hmm. And when you're striving for excellence, you have to say, I'm going to do it, come hell or high water, basically.
Wow. You said it was a teacher, which I think we all could agree that education, certainly primary education, secondary, are so important to anyone's growth. And that if a child gets it from, if they get it from the household and the school system, I would dare say, I don't know these statistics, but I would dare say a kid like that who gets it again at home and from a teacher like you did, Boone, stands a much better chance than a kid who doesn't get it from either place, or, or gets them from one or the other, where, I just think it's what's the old term? It takes a village to raise a child. I think that's a great illustration of Boone, of the village sort of pitching in and giving you, not to say you didn't get it at home, but the fact that you remember that, that incident that, changed the trajectory of your life, at some level. So anyway, I think that's important to get it at the early age and, get that spirit of excellence in you.
I got it from home, but I think it didn't really hit me until it came outside of the home, because sometimes
understood. Sometimes
when we get things from inside the home, even now, people are too close to it. And so when it comes from an outside, it kind of hits you a little differently. And I think that's what happened in the case of my junior high school teacher.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I can relate to that, because I come from a family of educators, mother, father, stepmother, and sister. And I remember getting always, do good in school, excellence, study, all that stuff. I got positive reinforcement. But as I was sitting there thinking as a child, I rebelled against it somewhat because of peer pressure in school. I think we've talked about this, kids saying, oh man, you're trying to be smart. You're trying to be good. You know what I mean? That peer pressure, man. And I think that's we've talked about this. It's a cancer within society, within culture. And it has the possibility of pulling kids down who are trying to, display this, this level of excellence, but yet this force, this energy is saying, no, don't be excellent, because you're going to be, you're too good. Don't be good. I just think that's a powerful, powerful thing that is real to, you know, to kids. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is. But you said it, that positive reinforcement is major.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, we're talking about this, this young person learning it, but it doesn't have to stop there or start there. You can also learn it as an adult if you've never had it, because like we always say, there's so much information out here, so many places that you can find out how to do, or you could do a how-to video on anything, right?
Yes, sir.
You have to be careful of the sources, of course, but if you have never been taught that, or if you've never learned that, or you don't know exactly how to go about that, there's so many resources out here. This being one of, well, I guess we'll talk about how to get there, but being one of them, mm-hmm. will allow you to be able to learn about excellence, what it is, and start striving for it, and learn, you know, striving for it to actually master it, to become a master of excellence.
Good point.
One of the things you said, Russ, mm-hmm. in terms of how we dumb ourselves down, if you will.
Yeah.
One way to exemplify excellence in character is to not conform to average or mediocre just to fit in.
Yeah.
How many jobs have we had where the people that we work with, you know, they took excessive lunch breaks.
Right.
You know, they let their guard down, so to speak, mm-hmm. and just to fit in with them, we did the same thing. We know, you get an hour if you're fortunate. You get an hour for lunch.
Ouch.
So when these guys went out for lunch and they took an hour and a half, it was like, you know, let me just do what they do.
Right.
And that's not a way of exemplifying excellence in character. We have to not conform to what the crowd is doing, but and we know that God's best never intended for us just to be average or ordinary. God invests a lot in us, and He wants a return on His investment, as we always say.
Mm-hmm.
Man, outlet, you literally stepped on my toes just now when you said the we get an hour for lunch. So real quick story: when I worked in the government, I remember my friends we worked with, we used to take 2 and 3 hour lunches, and I fell into this rut of taking 2 and 3 hour lunches every day on the government dime. Right. But I remember over maybe it took about a year or two, maybe about 2 years. I remember feeling that I can't settle for mediocrity. Like I remember getting to the point where I was like, there's gotta be more to 3 hour lunches and, you know, and just being lazy. And then that's when I found my way out of government. Not saying all government jobs are like that, but my experience was like that, where I fell into that level of laziness. I left and then went to corporate America and realized that the level of excellence I had to display had to go to another level, where I was taking hour lunches and getting right back, because corporate America was different than my government experience. So yeah, you were stepping on my toes there, Boone, but I definitely remember that, man. I was not displaying excellence back in the government days. So
yeah. He stepped on my bunion, man. Not just my toes, man. So that's a great point that you made, Moon. That, you know, sometimes, many times, when you decide to take on this attitude of excellence, that's excellence in character, mm-hmm. it separates you from those, some people around you, you know, and you find that you won't fit in with the crowd. Then it'll go back to, you'll start to experience that, what you may have experienced when you were younger, mm-hmm. where you had to dumb yourself down because to fit in. So it's almost the same thing when you get to the adult level. You either have to you will have the feeling that you have to conform to doing things the wrong way right. in order to fit in, mm-hmm. or you'll have to make a choice to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to continue to strive to have this excellence in character. It goes against my character to do this, and it will separate you. And you have to be okay with that. You don't work for the person that signs your check. You're actually working for God.
Yes, sir. So
you will do things differently. And I'm getting ready to get a lightning strike over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Step off, turn
the camera off because you don't want to see it.
Good gracious. I feel you, baby. I feel you.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we talk about excellence in character from a biblical perspective, mm-hmm. we always look at Daniel, right? So some of the words that define excellent, an excellent spirit, yes. great character, mm-hmm. integrity, honesty, mm. compassion, being humble, teachable, always wanting to learn, having great work habits, you're mm. dependable. If you say you're going to be someplace at a certain time, can somebody count on you? Mm-hmm. You're meek, you're consistent, you're diligent, you're adaptable, you're self-disciplined, you're reliable, of course. So mm-hmm. we want to do those things that exhibit those kinds of qualities.
I like that.
Yeah.
And while I'm on this subject,
yeah,
another pain point that we had discussed last week is also applicable to this week, where we said perfect planning prevents poor performance.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we, now granted, things happen, but tardiness and unreliability should be the exception instead of the rule.
Yeah.
So if we do those things that help us to either get to a certain point on time or to do something
yeah.
on time, then that would prevent poor performance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Being on time is good. That's a good one. That's a good one to start. I mean, all of them are good. There's no question. But being on time is something that I've learned. I know I told you all a million times. I have a sister-in-law. So shout out to Fifi. She is always early to every family event we have. So if it's a 1 o'clock event, she is there at 12. And we joke about it, but I always tell her this, that it, and I'm blessed by it. It's always that left because she's so consistent with it. She exemplifies excellence every single time she does it, because you never have to worry about her being late because she's never trying to be on time. She's always going to be early. You hear what I'm saying? And that's yes. something I try to do myself. I try, if I have a 1 o'clock appointment, I literally now, I don't try to get there at one. I'm always trying to get there at, you know, be honest, 12:30, but sometimes I'll be there at 12 based on, you know, me watching her do it. So again, yeah, being on time, I think is a great, great way to start, you know, practicing the excellence.
I told you guys about a former, well, he was actually like the president of the division of the company that I work for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember just like it was yesterday, we had an 8:30 meeting scheduled. And I got there at 8:28. And if looks could kill,
yeah,
I would not be podcasting today.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And right off the break, you know, he started talking about Lombardi time. Lombardi right. time is, you know, you're 5-10 minutes early. Mm-hmm. That's on time.
Yeah, that's on time, right.
And I wish I could say from that day forward I was never late, but I fail in that area.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so, but I do remember, like I said, just like it was yesterday, he gave me this look like, don't you ever show up at any of my meetings 2 minutes prior to the start of the meeting.
Right. Yeah, I try to I tried to instill that in my kids, because that was one of my worst habits, was showing up late. And I can go back to an incident when I had first started in the Navy, and I was working at the Navy Yard down in DC. So I didn't live far from the Navy Yard at the time. Mm-hmm. So I left home just in the amount of time it took for me to get from home to the Navy Yard. And I can remember sitting in the Master Chief's office, and he asked me that question, well, how long does it take you to get to work? And so I told him that whatever it was, 10 minutes or so forth. So he said, what time do you leave for work? And I gave him that time. He said, so basically what you're telling me is that if you have a flat tire, you run into traffic, or any of these other things that could happen on your way to work, you're giving yourself 3 minutes to get through it.
Wow.
And that stuck with me. I was 18 years old, and it stuck with me. And so what I tell my kids, and I've even had this conversation with my grandson, is plan if your meeting is at 1, or you're supposed to be whatever time it is, plan your trip to be there a half hour early at a minimum. So that way, if you run into anything, you have time to make adjustments, because, you know, recovery is everything.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Marcus Johnson, and starting September 18th, I'd like to invite you to join me Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. for the Flow Podcast with Marcus Johnson. Flow is spelled F-L-O with no W, and it means for the love of. As an award-winning entrepreneur, musician, lawyer, professor, and most importantly, a dad, I've had many experiences that have taught me invaluable lessons and tools that we all can use to achieve our highest potential. We call it going deeper. If you're an entrepreneur looking for foundational strategies for creating and enjoying your success, a parent looking for the self-care needed to maximize your engagement in your family and your occupation, or if you're just looking to live the journey of life with intention, love, passion, work-life balance, and happiness, the Flow Podcast is for you. So starting September 18th on Saturdays at 9 a.m., join me for the Flow Podcast with Marcus Johnson. It's for the love of you. Streaming on all major platforms.
Hey, what's up, fellas? If you're looking for healthy, thought-provoking conversations on a variety of topics dealing with life issues, be a transparent, open dialogue for men who need a dose of honest, engaging, and heartfelt discussions, tune in to Inside the Armor, airing Mondays at 8 a.m., hosted by
Joe, Russ,
and yours truly, Boone. We would love to have you vibe with us as we talk about our trials and our triumphs, our messes and our successes. Join us for Inside the Armor Mondays at 8 a.m. Iron sharpening iron, one podcast at a time.
All right, we're back.
My brothers, I want to leave this nugget with you guys before I forget. Okay. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is the little extra. What I'm saying is, another way to exemplify excellence in character is to do more than what's required or asked of you. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Got it. Going above, so you're saying going above and beyond.
Yes.
So if I'm just throwing this out there. So if my wife goes, can you do this? I should think, or not I should, but one of the things I may want to do is think, you know, let me do a little, even show a little more of what she's asking me to do, try and do something above what she's actually asking me to do, maybe. Doing a little extra. I'm just throwing out, that's not really a great example, but in my mind, that just came up.
No, that was a great example. With all of us being married, you know, that's right in our wheelhouse. You know, that's an easy topic to bounce this information off of. So how do we exemplify excellence in our marriage? Going above and beyond, anticipating, you know,
Anticipating, yes.
Anticipating, because we know that there's certain things that our wives like or don't like, and we need to be able to, when the Bible tells us to dwell with her with understanding, then that means understanding everything about her, how she thinks, how she moves, even though I often say that loving my wife is like loving a moving target.
Yes, sir.
But
come on, Doc.
But with that being said, there's certain things that I know that will bring pleasure to her.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking sexually. I'm talking about mental and emotional pleasure.
Yeah.
And then the things that will set her off by, you know, the way that I act. And here I am to tell you, I'll be the first to tell you that I am still striving for excellence in those areas. I do not have it, and I don't profess to be excellent.
Okay.
But I'm working towards it in those areas.
I like that. That's good.
Well, you just showed one of the qualities when it comes to exemplifying excellence in character is humility. You realize that you haven't arrived. You realize that you can do more.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, but I'm also reminded sometimes. I just want to be reminded that I haven't arrived. But go ahead.
Okay. That's funny, bro. That
is, because the first day, all you know, shout out to the first ladies. They have an extraordinary God-given talent.
Yes.
To point out when we're not displaying excellence. And I laugh at it now, and I, you know, sometimes in the heat of it, it's not funny, but I will say this. God is a God of sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And when you, like, as we're laughing at it right now, you know, God knows what's up. He goes, you know, I put her in your life. One of the reasons I put her in your life is for that, for you to. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's true. I think a woman, a wife, I say a woman, but a wife has a unique quality to show you where you're not displaying excellence, and that's okay, right? I mean, that's how they're built.
Yeah, I know we cut you off, Boone. Please don't lose that thought.
Yeah, please don't. I'm sorry,
man, but we did kind of go left a little bit, but you know, and I agree. And another thing that I always try to remember to myself, and I say to other men, is try not to focus on the messenger, but focus on the message that she's giving you. Great because point. That message is coming, a lot of times it's coming from God.
Right.
And he's speaking to a particular thing that you are doing or not doing, either way. And he's giving it through her. You know, she's giving it to you direct from him. So if you pay attention to the message, then a lot of times you'll be able to get past the angst of the messenger.
That's good right there. I like that.
Yeah, I found myself repenting for poor body language. You know, if I'm in one section of the house and First Lady calls and asks me to do something.
Right.
I've had to repent. You know, I've done it, but had she been right behind me and seen my body language, I would have been embarrassed.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I didn't stomp and scream, but my facial expression indicated that I don't want to do it now, or I don't want to do it at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And one of the qualities of exemplifying excellence in character is that you want to do something, whatever the task is, do it with enthusiasm.
With enthusiasm.
And so instead of saying, okay, no problem, I'll do it. I don't want to say this is utopia, but you want to get to a posture where, sure, I'll do it, no problem. Anything else you'd like for me to do?
Yeah.
You know, go the extra mile. And believe it or not, you'd be surprised how that would carry over into your business relationships, your personal relationships.
That's a great point.
So if it starts at home,
right,
and you can look at your first ladies as your manager, if you will, mm-hmm. your supervisor,
yeah,
because truth be told, sometimes brothers give more attention to what happens at the workplace than they do at home. In other words, if your manager says, tells you to do something, you'll run and do it. You'll do it with enthusiasm.
Right.
But when you get to the crib and your wife tells you to do something, you don't have that same enthusiasm. And it shouldn't be that way.
It should.
True. It's true.
So your employer could be getting more from you than your spouse could be. And you know, that's definitely a no-no.
Danger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's it's interesting. I don't know if you guys have heard me say this before, but I just used it the other day because my wife had me do a to your exact point when we pulled up and she was supposed to go in and get something from a store, and she goes, "Will you go in and get it?" And my mind said, "Man, I don't want to do it." Right. So, you know, but I remember said I did exactly what you just said, Boone. I said I don't know if it's humility or I was disciplined at that moment for one time, I guess, or you know, every now and then I said, "Sure, babe, what do you need me to do?" And it took everything out of me not to go, "I don't feel like, why don't you go in?" You know what I mean? Like that's how I felt, but I caught myself and I said, "I'll go in there." So I went in there. And and the lady goes, "Oh, she's not coming." And I said, "No." I said, I decided to just come up and get it. And then I told the woman that she goes, "Oh, Shirley's your wife, right?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm not actually her husband." That's what I said. I'm sorry. She goes, "You're her husband." I said, "No, I'm actually her concierge." So I was having fun. I play that joke with some of her clients and so forth. And then when they say, "Oh, you're Shirley's husband," I was like, "No, I'm actually her concierge." So I try to make fun of it, the fact that I'm trying to be a good concierge. In other words, serving her on a higher level. So anyway, I just brought that up just because it was appropriate, I guess.
So Boone, one of the things that comes to mind is, you know, how do you tell when the character of a man or one of the telltale signs of the character? So if they're asked to do something in a particular, you know, something that they feel that's below them or beneath them, what will show the difference?
Well, some old wise man once said, you can tell a man's character by what he turns up when he's offered a job, mm-hmm. his nose or his sleeve.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I like it too.
Yeah.
Roll your sleeves up and get busy. Get dirty.
Get dirty.
Sometimes you have to get dirty.
Yes, you do. That's a Russell H. Gordon special right there. My dad told me when I was a kid, he said, "Son, don't ever turn down any job and don't ever look down at any job." He goes, if you want to be a trash man, he said, you know, back then, he goes, "Be the best trash man you can be and work hard." So I was taught that at, 14, 15, when I was trying to get my first job, mm-hmm. he said, "Don't turn down any job." He goes, "Any job is good. If you're working, you're working." So
I think that was in one of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's speech.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said, you know, if you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper.
Yes, sir.
Interesting.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Wow.
He definitely, I listened to that speech not long ago. Mm. You know, just as a reminder, it's funny that, that there's so many nuances to a character of excellence, mm-hmm. but it all starts with a decision. You have to make a decision that that's what I'm going to do. You have to make a decision that this is the route that I'm going to go.
Right.
And when you do that, it allows you to put aside some of those other things that are going to those distractions.
Yeah.
Because you've decided.
Yes, you've decided.
Yeah.
Great point.
And one of the things that gets us on the path of excellence is doing the smallest thing, as we just alluded to, doing the smallest thing as though it's a big thing. And from a biblical perspective, you know, if God can trust you in the little things, mm-hmm. then he'll bless you with more responsibilities.
Yes. Yeah. I believe that. I believe that.
Definitely. If you're faithful in little, he'll bless you with much more.
Absolutely.
So you're not gonna if you can't succeed in street sweeping, you're not gonna be blessed with being a CEO of your own company.
That's right.
And it's the little things that matter sometimes.
Yes.
I agree. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. If you can't trust with the penny, how's he gonna trust with a dollar?
That's right. And that falls under the category of being a good steward.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to exemplify excellence in your character, that's one of the points is to be a good steward. And realizing that stewardship means that you don't own it. You're managing what belongs to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And truth be told, our wives, we are stewards over them.
Yes.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
And we actually talked about, and can you be trusted with your family?
That's right. Yeah.
Episode what, Mo? I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was somewhere in there. Got to look for episode something. We talked about it, man.
No, that's good, man.
So 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, mm-hmm. and in diligence, and in your love of us, see that you abound in grace also. So grace, I'm adding that to the excellence thing, because you have to have grace.
Ooh, ooh.
Because grace will allow you to forgive yourself, one, for not operating in excellence all the time. And then it will allow you to say, okay, I made a mistake this time, but I'm going to move forward and continue to work towards doing this thing for God. So you got to give yourself grace in this process, because you won't get it the first time. Remember, we talk about mastering, it takes steps.
Great point.
And there are times when you will succeed, and there are times when you will not succeed, but you have to continue to take steps towards that goal.
Amen. Amen. And as the credits roll, we're taking steps to roll up out of here.
Yeah.
And we're going to challenge you to do more than what's required or asked of you. We're going to challenge you to do that. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, please reach us at info.insidethearmor@gmail.com. Once again, it's info.insidethearmor@gmail.com. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.